Welcome everybody to Win or Die Sports production of Talking Tigers. This is Wesley Burris, your host, and my co-host Taylor Griggs. Say a little something, Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said a little something. Well, we did a Gamecock podcast, and I do want to preface everything with saying that I am a coot in you guys' minds, and I'm going to try to keep this clean, keep it a little PG-13 maybe, not completely clean. I will show my emotion from time to time when it comes to college football. Excuse me. But I want to bring you the same level for Clemson football as I do for Carolina football. Not with the passion, but I want to keep this a little straight-laced, be a little more analytical than I am, a little more neutral. I enjoy watching Clemson football because I like to see what they do. I do not ever wish for them to succeed, but I enjoy watching it. Yeah, I've grown up doing this. Any Alabama fan is going to watch and see what Auburn does. They might not watch the games, but they're going to keep in touch with what their rival does. I mean, this is what it's all about. And I use them as a comparison, a highly more successful comparison. But because we're both small states and don't have a pro franchise in the NFL, that's what makes us a little bit special, guys. I mean, it really does. I know that Clemson fans can hold it over the heads that they have dominated South Carolina throughout time. That is undeniable. And at this point in time, Clemson's trajectory seems to be just astronomical. They're at the top of the game. They are the top of the food chain, Taylor. Does that hurt your feelings as much as it does mine?
Not really.
It doesn't. You care a little bit more about you pull for the Gamecocks.
Yes.
And you like them a lot.
Yes.
They can make you upset. But,
yes.
But you care little about what happens outside of their world.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You're more of an NFL fan. You're right. Because, you know, Clemson fans can look through things through orange tinted glasses just like Carolina fans can look through garnet colored lenses. And you know what? That's all well and good. But this podcast will be slightly different than the Gamecock one, in which that is more of an opinion show, or what I want to be an opinion show. Whereas I'm just going to do a Tiger recap. Today we're going to do a season preview. But going forward, I want to throw some recaps of the games, the weekends in Clemson Tiger football, because it is one of the hottest things going in land, Bo. I mean, it does pain me to put them over the way that I will. I want to explain a little something about it, though. I hate Clemson football, but I respect the hell out of it. And the reason why is because I've grown up, and in my lifetime, Clemson has, for the most part, been pretty damn successful. And they have reached the apex of college football twice now. Once before I was conceived or born. But recently, 2 years ago, they were the national champions, Taylor. I mean, and that, to me, I questioned the Dabo Swinney stuff the first few years when South Carolina was getting the edge in win-wise. But it's paid off, and I don't think, and this is in no way I'm trying to be demeaning, I don't think that Dabo Swinney is incompetent by any means. I think he's a great football coach. I think he's one of the best football coaches in America. I don't think Dabo Swinney is that X's and O guy, but I think Dabo Swinney is a businessman. He's a CEO, and he knows what's going on, and he has a beat on the pulse of the program. He knows when to delegate power, when to take power for himself. He can call plays, I'm sure. He doesn't need to be that guy because he has gone out and found Brent Venables. He has promoted from within Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott. Sorry, forget about old Coach Scott's son. They've done well for themselves. I question whether Scott and Elliott would have the play calling chemistry that was left behind when Chad Morris left. But now Chad Morris is doing good things at SMU. Look, man, their offense has been what was the focal point at the beginning of their ascension to this level in college football, Taylor. But the reason that I chose the intro song for this podcast that I did is because, number one, I've always kind of dug it. I think it sounds good. But number two, defense, and more importantly, Rage defense, is what really has driven Clemson to the apex of college football. Nobody can deny that. All their fans know that. You know, there's a lot of what bothers me living so close to this rivalry is a lot of the bandwagon stuff that I have seen when Carolina made an ascension to being competitive in the SEC East really on a consistent basis for the first time. And now they've been knocked down a peg. Clemson would always seemingly the verb they used to use was Clemsoning. And boy, they don't do that anymore. You can say, oh, the loss to Syracuse last year, the loss to Pittsburgh. Those losses don't matter in the grand scheme of things because they can always come back and win the conference because they're dominant. And what they are doing is Dabo Swinney and his staff are recruiting at a level the likes of that only Alabama can compete with. And that's why they have played each other three times in the last 3 years in the playoff. What I saw out of Alabama was uncanny, Taylor. I mean, they are a dynasty. Do you see Clemson being similar to what they've done over the last decade?
Not really.
Why is that?
I just don't feel like there's going to be another team like that for a long time.
Well, as far as, I mean, obviously Clemson hasn't won, you know, two titles in a row or anything like that. But I consider them to be right there at that level.
As far as dominating recruits?
Well, that's how you build everything. Yeah. We didn't delve deep into the recruiting on our Gamecock episode. I will not do that again here. I might mention a guy here or there, but that's not what this episode is about because I want to know what recruits do once they actually reach the field. I think that's the logical way to look at them. You have to separate yourself at some point. You can get excited when you get 3-5 stars. South Carolina has not been able to do that. Clemson has, in a recruiting class, gotten 2 or 3 5 stars. You can get excited about that. I'm not saying you can't. But I do know that looking at recruiting, hey, here's all the proof you need, Taylor. This is it. South Carolina on paper out-recruited Clemson for years, and then once, you know, maybe just by a few spots, but they out-recruited them for years on paper. But then when the stuff hit the fan and there were a couple key losses, several key losses, and that D-line was gone. We mentioned that in the Carolina episode. When the D-line left and the talent we had up front that are all contributing or have contributed in the NFL and Melvin Ingram just got a big contract and a lot of guys, you know what I mean? When Jadavion, I don't need to mention them all. They're playing. Everybody knows who they are. Clemson has that right now. Clemson has the it factor that, look, the orange jerseys pop. Nike is a selling point. Their stadium is loud and it is large. And there are passionate people in this state that love the Tigers. You and I are around them all the time. We know that a lot of them, you know, just that this is they bleed orange. This is what it's all about. Just the same way that I feel about the Gamecocks, they might even be more passionate than I am, some of them. Not everybody. But what I want to talk about really is I think Dabo's made all the right moves. I think the pieces are in place here this season, honestly. You can't ask for anything better. You got Kelly Bryant, who, while some of the stats like his touchdowns aren't that high, but he didn't throw a shit ton of picks either. I'm sorry for the language, but he didn't. He didn't go out there and screw up a lot. But there's an incoming gunslinger in Trevor Lawrence that everybody is high on. He's one of the biggest studs in the 2018 recruiting class. And like I said, I'm not going to go too far into recruits and speculating on what guys will do. I will tell you that Clemson has a lot of talent back, a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Some of them are unproven, and the offensive line does need some work. But I will say this, anybody that projects them to not be in the playoff this year would probably be insane. I mean, there's no way you can bet against them right now. So that being said, I want to go into the depth chart and maybe some of the things. First off, we're going to recap last season because I think it's important to know that Clemson, the last several years, has completely, as I mentioned earlier, gotten over the stigma of losing the big one. And now it's not about losing the big or losing the game you shouldn't have, I should say, instead of the big one. But losing a game you shouldn't have. And, yeah, they lost a game they shouldn't have lost on paper last season. There were circumstances in that game that a lot of people don't pay attention to. I think the national mainstream sports media said, you know, a little bit more about. Kelly Bryant was banged up in that Syracuse game. He played a lot of the game, but he was banged up, and then just Clemson really pissed away several opportunities in that game and played poorly in the secondary for several plays, which actually allowed Syracuse to beat him up top man to man. But when you see an injury to your star player, one of your star players, a lot of time the team just gets in a letdown, don't you think? You remember when old Lattimore broke, snapped his knee? I mean,
knocks the wind out of him.
Damn right. I mean, that's what happens in sports. When you see a stud go down, and then you just sometimes you lose confidence, and they ended up losing that football game. And that was their first blemish of the season, and they didn't have another one until they lost to Bama. And Bama did dominate that football game, but it wasn't like a runaway. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that. That's dumb to think. So I think that Dabo has the pieces in place to definitely contend for a playoff again this year. So, I mean, let's just go ahead and run down, Taylor, the last year's results and kind of talk about what we remember, think about each game quickly. I don't want to make this too in-depth. Because we're gonna bring you ACC previews and SEC previews later on, and we're gonna go over these games week to week as the season goes on. But this is the next thing on my agenda. Last year, 12-2, and 8-1 in the ACC, and that lone loss was Syracuse. But we'll run through the schedule real quick. Is they just pounded the hell out of Kent State early in that game. I mean, Kent State did absolutely nothing. I'm pretty sure
they've been ranked as the worst college football program of all time.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, this game was silly. I think there was a point in time that they ran the ball like 20-something times in a row or something like that without throwing a pass. It might have been more than that. I might be misremembering. But they pounded them in Death Valley 56-3. The second week, again at home against Auburn, September 9th, they beat Auburn 14-6 in a game where they just made a few more plays than Auburn did. This was a defensive struggle. Both games, both teams in this game wore their hard hats and brought their lunch pail and went to work, man. There's no doubt about it. They were hitting each other hard. It was physical. It was boring. This is the kind of game I know as a fan you don't appreciate being at. It's just too nail-biting because at any point in time the game can get back close. But I do think that Clemson fans probably had a – they were probably – knew that they were in control of this game once. I think Bryant went in for a touchdown like the first play I watched this game because the Gamecocks were playing at the same time, and I flipped it over and it was like they were inside the 10. I think Bryant ran it in and scored their first score. Anyway, ended up getting just pounding Louisville the next week at Louisville 47-21, and this game was just never close. No doubt they were the better team. Louisville had no answer up front for Clemson's pass rush, and we'll get into that later. This is just a dominant front four for the Clemson Tigers. This is when you can rush four, shit, they could probably rush three and get pressure with these guys. I mean, these are grown men and they're studs, and it's tough to play against. Boston College, this is a weird game. They win 34-7. And I will say this, and this is no knock or shot at Clemson here, but everyone will know this was like a 10-7 game. Clemson was up going into the fourth quarter, and they ended up scoring 24 points in the fourth quarter off turnovers and whatnot, short fields. And I know my buddy old Callie Bell was nervous about this game, and we were texting back and forth. Yeah, this was a crazy game, and I did watch
it. Be one game they end up losing.
BC always plays them tough. Yeah. I mean, but I'm not going to count that as a loss, but BC always plays them tough. They went up to Hokie Land the next week and won 31-17, and I don't remember much about that game at all, so I can't really comment about it. Wake Forest at home, they won 28-14. It was always tough. Wake had a solid ball club last year. They really did. They had a really good quarterback, a good offensive line, and they didn't match up well with Clemson, but they made some plays, and they made it hard for Clemson's offense in that ball game. That I think Clemson went out to a 21-7 lead, or it might have even been 21-0 in that game. Like, they scored quick and then Wake just held them back, and I do think the Tigers might have got a little laid back and conservative there, seemingly how we do against Vanderbilt sometimes. We've been beating them now for a stretch, but they're a team that can compete with us. When you get lazy, these teams that have smart athletes and solid players, they can go out there and take advantage of you. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always any given Sunday, they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's right. But Saturday applies any as well. Saturday. Exactly. So the next week was the loss at Syracuse, which was a crazy game. And, man, I remember this game. I was excited that they lost. And I thought at this point in time, well, that's got to knock them out of contention for the playoff. But I did realize, hell, they could always go out there and win out, which is what the hell they did. And getting ahead of myself, the next week they got Georgia Tech at home 24-10, just dominated the line of scrimmage in this game. Georgia Tech's offense was ineffective. Always a team that gives their best effort against Clemson, but Clemson is just – they're leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of teams in this country, not just the ACC by any means, in terms of talent and skill level. I mean, that's undeniable. At NC State, a back-and-forth affair, 38-31, a really good football game. Did not get to see much of it as it aired live. I think Carolina was playing at the exact same time this was going on again, and that happens from time to time, a few times a season. And it sucks for both of us, but we're fans of who we like. So we're going to watch our team ahead of that. But, again, I went back and watched this game because they did a replay. Watched the replay of the game. It was nice, other than the outcome. But it was a damn good football game. Florida State, this was another game that was really tight in the fourth late. I think it was 17-14 Clemson, and then Clemson scored a couple times in like the last 8 or 10 minutes and really take away the ball game, but they're the better team than Florida State right now. And really, the Seminoles are the only people that you could think, besides Georgia Tech, and they could compete with them right now, that they're going to play this year, I think, because I need to double-check and look back at the schedule. The next week, they beat the hell out of the Citadel. I mentioned to you earlier, the last time the Gamecocks played the Citadel, we lost.
Yeah.
Miserable game. But they beat the Citadel 61-3 and just exert their dominance in that game and let a lot of young guys play. And then they beat the Gamecocks the next week. Sad day, 34-10. This game was competitive very early, and then just there was no doubt that it was just a talent gap, man. There just is. And this is sad to see for me, but I can look at this and tell you that I respect the hell out of Clemson because I know how good they are. And I think a lot of Gamecock fans can be naysayers about them, but the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And the scores the last few years have just not – you can throw 2015 out in my mind because – wasn't as close as the final score indicated. So I'm throwing that out. And then the next week, Clemson takes on Miami in the ACC championship game. Complete annihilation, 38-3. Just, I think a lot of the national media was latching on. A lot of times the narrative gets they want the old teams that have dominated to kind of come out. I don't think, as many Gamecock fans think, that the media is latching on to Clemson and like outright rooting for them. No, I don't believe that. I think they root for teams like Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Southern Cal and Alabama. I do think they root for traditional powers that go all the way back to before color television or even television existed. And they just don't want to accept certain facts. Anyway, they beat the hell out of Miami, and then they lost to Bama 24-6. And Bama dominated them up front. That's not to say Clemson's offensive line is bad by any means. Hell no, they're not bad. They're damn good, and they can maul people. But Bama's on another level sometimes when they want to be, and that might have been Clemson's biggest – the only weakness that Alabama could exploit, because Clemson's offense to some has taken a step back. Obviously, you lose a guy like Deshaun Watson, and before him, Taj Boyd, they could sling the ball over the yard. Kelly Bryant is not that type of quarterback. But Kelly Bryant takes care of the football, can make big plays as well. He just didn't have opportunities here against Bama. Now, I'll run some stats down really quick. Bryant threw for 2,802 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 8 picks. And he also ran for 665 yards at 3.5 a carry for 11 touchdowns. This is a big kid who can be the center of this offense. You don't need a super dynamic player in this offense to make you elite. I think you have seen that with Kelly Bryant. He doesn't have to be Deshaun Watson. He doesn't have to be Taj Boyd because the defense is so good now. When Taj Boyd was there, I think the highest their defense was ever ranked. I don't think they were in the top 20. I could be wrong. They might have had 1 year they were, but they were bad on defense a couple of times. Wouldn't you say or agree with me that when Clemson was making their ascension under Dabo and cracking the big rankings and winning big games but was still losing to South Carolina, wouldn't you say their offense was the show?
Yes.
And now that they've been beating the hell out of us and making us, embarrassing us and making us look bad, it's because of the defense. Because I still think in football the defense matters. All the rules of the game go against the offense. You know, corners, safeties can't hit guys over the middle. You can't hand check or anything like that. Sometimes there's refs that are really strict on that. I mean, it's all kind of weird things that sports do. They think points are what matter, and honestly, I think competition is what matters the most. Don't you agree? Like, wouldn't you rather see every game be close and be good? If it's something, if it's not your team playing, wouldn't you rather every game be good?
Yeah.
Instead of being 70-14 or 34-6, I would too. I mean, so I don't know. Anyway, getting into. I want to talk about the depth chart a little bit and who we got coming back. And on offense, we have six starters back. Mm. And those starters are Kelly Bryant, Tavion Feaster, Mylon Richard, Sean Pollard on the offensive line, Mitch Hyatt on the offensive line, and Hunter Renfro, wide receiver. Defensively, our starters back are Cleveland Farrell, Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, and Austin Bryant, what is being argued as possibly the greatest offense or defensive line in college football history. And based on what I could – whatever they do this year, they could definitely write that legend because these guys have been getting it done. They are just – it's ridiculous. Colin Farrell had 18 tackles for loss and 9.5 sacks last year. That was his second year of college football. Christian Wilkins – started at end as a sophomore in 2016, and moved to tackle in 2017. Has 193 tackles and 26 tackles for loss and 10 sacks in 3 years, and been playing inside one of those years. That's nice numbers, but it's not the sacks and necessarily the tackles for loss that matter. It's the disruption, and I think a lot of times
pressure.
Yes, when pressure busts pipes, it's that simple. When Clemson fans sometimes think, okay, well, we didn't get that sack or we didn't get this, you probably still threw the playoff. That is almost as important. I mean, quarterback pressures are a stat now. They did not used to be. They are a stat now. Travis Etienne led the team in rushing with 766 yards, and he also averaged 7.2 a carry. I have this here somewhere. I didn't have his touchdowns right there, but he ended up last season with 13 touchdowns. This guy is a stud. He can blaze by anybody. Clemson kills with speed, and they have for several years now, even going back to Tommy Bowden's era. Tommy was recruiting guys that were – he was recruiting against Florida State and Florida. He made that move more so than we have. But he was getting you speed, you know, the Spillers and of the world and all those guys. What they have right now with him and Tavion Feaster back there are just two big-time running backs with just such a high ceiling. I mean, it's really unreal. Let's run down the complete depth chart really fast. At quarterback, you got Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence, obviously as a freshman, big stud coming in, can make all the throws, can run. He's a dual threat. He's a big kid. If he can acclimate himself to the offense, he can definitely take the reins. I think it would be dumb if Kelly Bryant does not start the game at A&M and he definitely start it. You have to. You can't go out there and just throw the freshman out on the road at a hostile environment. If you want to give him a start and give Bryant a rest, you can do that the next week when Georgia Southern comes to town and rest him up for the next week at Georgia Tech. And we'll get into the schedule later. But, I mean, I wanted to mention that because I think Bryant has earned the right to be the leader. And I don't think that you can just throw the freshman out there, even if he looks better in the passing game. I think because things could happen. You know, he's still an 18-year-old kid. All right, behind him, you got Travis Etienne and Tavion Feaster. They're going to split time. There's going to be other guys who are going to get carries. I'm not going to go into the freshmen and all the third and fourth string guys. You guys are fans. You know who you've got. You follow recruiting. We'll get into a recruiting on a later episode. I don't put stock into recruiting as much until I see what they have done as freshmen and what the coaches say about them, even if they're redshirting, what they talk about weight room and stuff like that. And we're going to move on. Now, Clemson doesn't really employ a fullback. They kind of use like a hybrid type situation. Milan Richard going to come back at tight end. Garrett Williams expect to give him competition at start at left tackle with stud Mitch Hyatt, a guy the Gamecocks and Virginia Tech and damn near everybody in the country was on, but those were like his final three. I was really hoping as a Carolina fan to have him with us. And Hyatt's just a damn good lineman. He's been starting since he's been here, and he's a stud. He's going to play on Sunday. There's no doubt in my mind. Behind him is Blake Vinson. We got John Simpson at left guard. Matt Bockhurst is going to back up people here. Justin Falsinelli, Gage Cervenka is going to work at center. Sean Pollard, right guard. Cade Stewart, Tremaine Ankrum, and Chandler Reeves are going to battle it out for right tackles is the information that I have at hand now. I haven't really dug into anything. I'm sure a lot of you might know if one of these guys are nicked up or banged up. Sorry if I've misspoke on this podcast. Just really wanted to get it out there. So that's the information I have from my old Athlon Sports stuff. And I'm going to go to the defense now. As I mentioned, we got Cleveland Farrell, Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, and Austin Bryant at defensive line. These are all four NFL football players.
All drafted. How many are leaving to go next year?
I would think there's the speculation that three of them get drafted in the first round.
I would imagine.
Two of them would have this year.
Yes.
So you would have had two. So saying that three of them will next year is not stupid.
Yeah.
So the argument for best defensive line of all time strongly in their favor right now, and we'll see what they do this year. I know they're going to put up big numbers. I mean, you can't game plan against this level of talent and ability. You cannot do it. It stifles you as a play caller. If you're a guy like a Spurrier or somebody that likes the deep passing game and whatnot and a lot of play action and comeback routes and stuff, then you have to take bigger drops is what they do in their offense, and it's about timing. This disrupts all of that. And Spurrier's not in the college game anymore, but there are coaches that have that pro-style mentality that it's all about time and it's all about where guys are. You can't get into a rhythm against them. The only time that you see people be really successful against Clemson is when their offensive line plays out of their mind and gives their quarterback time to check down or just chunk it deep and they get lucky, honestly. Or you hit a draw play on them or something because they over-pursue. You just can't go out here and have an awesome game against this team on a consistent basis. NC State played them well because their entire offensive line were veterans last year. The NC State was they lost so much talent. I don't see how they can compete with Clemson this year. But moving on to linebacker, you got Kendall Joseph back, Trey Lamar, and Isaiah Simmons, and Jalen Williams, James Skalinski, and Shaq Smith are listed as their backups. Trayvon Mullen at corner and Mark Fields. A.J. Terrell and Kyler McMichael expected to battle it out at cornerback. Tanner Muse back as a starter at strong safety. Isaiah Simmons is considered one of his backups, which is outside linebacker. He has great speed. And Kayvon Wallace and Denzel Johnson at free safety. Greg Hugel is your kicker. And Will Spears is your punter. Travis Etienne expected to be in the kick return game. Amiri Rodgers, they're going to interchange that. It's all about who can catch the ball without dropping it and who can make a big play and read and react. So, Taylor, your thoughts on Clemson's talent level and what they've done the last few years really quick under Dabo Swinney before we move into our little predictions for this season?
Astronomical.
Why that word? Because I use it.
Did you?
I think I did.
I don't know. That's just what else comes to me. Fantastic.
You think you can't deny how good they are.
Yeah.
It makes me mad.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be able to come
to
you.
But I see talent.
Real recognize real, man. You can't. There's no way you can look at this team and watch them in motion and say, oh, they're not, they're just lucky.
Yeah.
They're just lucky. No, that's not what this is about. And you know what? I don't like it. Again, reiterate, I respect it. I want to beat them so badly, but we're probably probably ain't gonna happen this year. I'm gonna go ahead and call that. So 2018 schedule breaks down like this, guys. September 1st, Furman comes to Death Valley. I imagine this could be anywhere to me from like a 48-0 game. Furman might score 7 if they take the second string out as well on defense. This could also be – Clemson could score 80 in this game. There's a chance. 70. If they leave the defense in here for more than the first half, this is probably going to be I could see something like
– slaughter.
66-3. I could see that. The next week at A&M, I don't know how to call this because I haven't really delved into what A&M has coming back. I know a lot of people have – I have read comments that their spring game, they thought the defense looked like a sieve. Like it looked – they said it looked awful, the worst it's looked. And Jimbo's got a lot of work to do there. I think Jimbo took the payday. I think something weird's going on at Florida State, honestly, for him to leave that job. I think he's scared. I think he might have known Mullen was coming and Rick is down there at Miami and Clemson, Dabo's dominating him down there and stealing talent from him. I think he just knew this might be a bad spot to be. He can go to A&M and if he finishes – fourth or third or better in the West every year, he's going to have a job for at least like 3 or 4 years, 5 years, whatever. So they go to A&M. I'm going to call it a win. I'm going to say they're 2-0. I think if they start Kelly Bryant, I think the defense is too much for A&M, even with the quick passing game. I don't know if they keep the quick passing game. If they go back to Jimbo's style of offense, Clemson definitely knows Venables is an excellent coordinator. He definitely knows how to stifle that. I don't think A&M has a whole heap better talent than Florida State at all. So I think maybe less talent. So I think Clemson wins this ball game. I could see it being a 10-point game or something like that. I think it's a definite win. Georgia Southern at home is a blowout. The next week at Georgia Tech is a toss-up because you never know how people show up to play the triple option. That's one of the toughest offenses. But right here and coming off of playing four games in a row, that could be a little tough. I mean, if A&M gives them a physical game, then there's a chance by the time you get to Georgia Tech it could be competitive. We've seen it in the past, but I'm going to count it as a win. So 4-0 right there. Syracuse is a revenge game at home. I could see this just being a bludgeoning. The next week at Wake, again, this is just a huge talent gap. Wake loses a quarterback. This is not going to be a good situation. Clemson wins big. NC State, again, NC State loses a ton of talent. I could see they've recruited fairly well the last few years. Maybe they make some plays. Maybe some guys are hyped up to play this game. I still see it. This is double digits to me. It's not going to be triple digits, but
better.
This is double digits. And what I mean by that is this 10 or more. I can't call it any different than this right now. At Florida State is a toss-up because Florida State has a ton of talent. We'll see how they acclimate themselves to Willie Taggart's staff. This is his dream job, he says. He had been at South Florida, went to Oregon, had minimal success at Oregon, comes back. South Florida's a better program for him leaving, but he did kind of prop them up a little bit. And Florida State has struggled in recruiting the last few years. It seems that they have had some misses, and they're not as big on the O-line or D-line or athletic on the D-line as they have been in the past. This is still a toss-up. I am going to call it a win, but in my mind, this is a game, depending on what we really see from Florida State the first few weeks of the season, whether they're going to be legit or not. Louisville at home is a win. I think their talent level has gone down a little bit. They're going to be able to move the ball a little bit on Clemson because they have smart coaching. They know how to get rid of the ball. Their offense works. They're a good program. I think Florida State, and Georgia Tech post the biggest threats in their season year to year because they play them every season. And then the next week, at Boston College, always a tough place for Clemson to play. Notorious close games with BC. It was a physical game last year. It was the Tigers had a bad day the first three quarters of that football game last year. They looked really bad, and the fans were lethargic as well because you can't get hyped up when you're watching your team struggle. Duke the next week at home, November 17th, I think is another game that should be a probably any 3-touchdown win or bigger. And then Carolina at home, which depending on whether the Gamecocks are competitive and good and what Clemson's going on and what's going on around the country, whether we get a primetime game up there in Death Valley or we get a daytime game. So I know that's always – the Clemson fans don't like the daytime game because so many of them live far from the upstate or a couple hours from the upstate that they don't – you know, you have to kind of plan so much ahead. It's not as fun. I get it. So a night game up there in Death Valley would be big for them. And I just don't see the Gamecocks pulling it off this year. I think Clemson has entirely too much talent. There's still going to be a little bit – if there's any question marks with this team, it's going to be offensively, whether they can be elite or whether they're just going to be really good. But I want to throw some weird numbers out here right now. Most people's predictions have them going 12-1. We didn't call a loss. We said there were some possibilities. You agree with that?
Yeah. I think they lose to Boston College.
Why Boston College?
Just one of those games.
Just because
they've done it every – I mean
– they've done it every year, and that's false. What are you talking about? They've done it every year.
Every year.
Oh, they lose a game that
you – they drop a game that lose.
Okay. And that's considered a slight against them, but at the same time
– it's not.
It's not because you can still definitely make the playoff. You win your division, and you only have one loss, and you beat the hell out of people like I expect them to do, even if Clemson loses one of these games. If Clemson does not lose 2 football games, they're going to be in the damn playoff.
Yes.
So even with a loss that the experts are just saying there's a loss so they can seem right here in Athlon Sports. This is what they think. They don't call the loss, but they say it is a conference loss. So maybe since they can't go ahead and forecast the ACC title game, they're thinking, look, Miami's taking steps forward.
They
they're
should not even play an ACC title game.
They should just give it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want that to ever be a thing to happen, but
it's just such a gap between them and everybody else.
It honestly is, and I don't mean that, and I know you don't, to just be like a throwaway statement. That is the truth.
It's big.
That's the truth. And I want to go ahead and say this right now, and this will just piss a bunch of Carolina fans off if they happen to listen to this, and that is, guys, this team ain't going nowhere. And this team, if they're in the SEC East, they're the SEC East champions. And if they're in the SEC West, they're no worse than runner-up. Okay? Let's put that into perspective. This is the second, or third best team in the SEC, Southeastern Conference, if they're in that. And that is my opinion. They wouldn't be the best team every year, but they'd be the first, second, third, maybe go as low as fourth every year. So the argument against, and this is not just me kissing Clemson fans' ass by saying this, this is what I honestly believe. They're a program. I've said it for several years now. I'm not going to sit here and be a hipster and say, I said this before anybody said. No, but I knew that this was a program. I could see through recruiting, and then once I saw the guys on the field, how the development is working and how this team has reached the level they are. You're paying them just as much respect as I am right now. You know they're good. Now, this team wouldn't win the damn Pac-12. They'd smoke those teams. Those teams don't play defense like this out there. They just don't. You cannot run the ball on Clemson. You can't run the ball on them. You can't. Nope. Not up the middle. You got to get something to the outside, and guess what happens then? One of these freak ends just throws somebody to the side and comes over and gets a hand on you. You might get 3 or 4 yards. You're not busting it. Nobody's out here consistently hitting 20-yard plays on these guys, and that's why they're as good as they are, bottom line. So we've gone through and said pretty much they're going to be undefeated through the regular season. You say they lose a game. I say they're undefeated. Whatever. That doesn't matter. That's just what it is. I'm going to throw a couple of numbers out here at you because I have them in this book that I didn't have in the Carolina book. I didn't buy multiple copies like I used to back in the day, and I'm not going to do that in the future either. Numbers to know. The Tigers' success rate margin on third down was 46.1% on offense and 32.6% on defense. That's tops in the ACC and tops in the second in the nation, by the way. Clemson's offensive success rate on standard downs, first downs, second and seven or less, and third and four or less, they were 51.3%, 17th in the country. And on passing downs, they were just 31.4%. They were 60th in the country. So this number is not necessarily a good number. That's where they struggled last year. That is why people are questioning Kelly Bryant at quarterback. Do you move ahead? Do you let a new guy come in? I understand the point that you're looking at. This guy's a senior. He's not going to be here next year. We got to develop. Look, Clemson has several games, wouldn't you agree, especially two out of the first three, where Trevor Lawrence can see the field, right? Furman and Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. How many downs would you play the freshman quarterback? Let's better yet, what would you do against Furman? How long would you play Kelly Bryant?
Maybe till halftime.
If you're up 14-0, you take him out?
No.
17-0?
Probably.
That's smart. Okay. I kind of feel the same way. Let him go out there and get some stats.
Yeah.
But does he need to have a shit ton of stats? No. It's about winning.
Yeah, I mean, if they go up 17-0 and
in the first, that'll be, they're probably going to go up 17-0 in the first,
they could,
7 minutes of the game.
And I would probably take him out.
That wouldn't be dumb.
And they'd probably,
Lawrence would probably come in and throw for 300 yards if he played the rest of the game, if they wanted him to. So I totally agree with you. Look, I questioned Dabo, and I have mocked him in the past. I have to say he's a great head coach. There's no other way to put it. You can't just say he's okay or he's mediocre. You can't. You have to classify him as great right now because he's winning. Whether that is by management style or whether that's hands-on X's and O's, which I don't think he is, doesn't matter. It's results are results. We do a dumbass little wrestling podcast, and we talk about, hey, Vince McMahon doesn't put out there in the WWE what everybody wants to see all the time, but guess what he does do? He makes money. Mm-hmm. Clemson's winning, and that's all that matters right now. Winning is all that matters in sports. I mean, period. That is what it's about. Healthy competition's great. You know, everybody feeling good after is great. But bottom line, it's about winning, and that's what has to be taught. So all I want to do is say right now that that's pretty much where I'm at. I think in the future we're going to recap Clemson's football games. That's going to come to you probably on Mondays or Tuesdays. Haven't settled in on that yet. We are going to bring you an ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference preview episode, where we're going to run down other teams, and we might mention Clemson. Of course, we're going to mention them. They're probably going to win the conference. But we're going to delve into the other teams real quick, just talk about their rosters and whatnot and where we think everybody lies. We're going to do the same thing with the Southeastern Conference. Stay tuned every week. We're going to bring you back starting in the beginning of the football season. We're only, what is it? I think it's 38 days or something like that away. Something I might have.
Probably there. Close.
Yeah, something like that. Away from kickoff, man. This is big time. I'm into it. I'm ready to see what shakes down. I am not looking forward to Clemson beating the hell out of everybody. But, hey, I'm going to be as cool as I can be about this because I want to bring you content. I want to entertain you a little bit. I'm going to give you my opinion of the Clemson games. I'm going to be a little more analytical on their end than I am on my Gamecock podcast because that's going to be pretty much a straightforward opinion show. I don't want to do that to all the Tiger fans out there that might want to listen to what I have to say about stuff. And I can just give you a recap of what goes on week to week. Taylor's going to join me. I look forward to it, and we're going to throw some more stuff out there through Winter Dive Sports. We're going to have other podcasts maybe previewing what's going on around the country, what we think the top games are, storylines, whatnot. Hope we don't bring you too much content and run you off. But, hey, go and look at what you think you want to listen to and listen to it, and we'll appreciate that. Everything else, stay tuned in the future. We're going to let you know what's coming, and I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs, and I think we're going to wrap this thing up, and we'll talk at you next time when Talking Tigers comes back.